Why don't we pray and then read our Bibles? God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good, because you love us. There's nothing like remembering Jesus around the table together. To just remember how much you care for us and you love us and you seek us. And so God, I pray that you would help us to think about that and remember that as we read your word and listen to you guide us so that our hearts would be hearts of surrender to you, hearts that would surrender to your will and to your love for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so we're going through the book of Colossians, chapter 3 and 4 right now, and don't worry, we won't do both chapters today. We're making our way through them. And as we read those two chapters together, the question that we're asking every week is, okay, how should a Christian live? Because that's the question that's answered in these texts. It's what does it look like to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus, to be God's child? How do you live? What does your life look like? So look at verse 16. If you were here last week and a bit eagle-eyed, you'll notice we didn't finish the verse. So today we'll wrap up verse 16. It says this, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." That's the part for us today. It all goes together, but there's three individual commands, and so we'll look at the last command, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. And I'm glad we get to look at this section, because this kind of, I think, is a bit of an ignored instruction, at least among God's children today. I think that this is an instruction that we say, oh yeah, I should do that, but I don't think that it's something that is, like when we talk about having communion with God and spending time with you know, my intimate time with God, my devotional time, I think of reading the Bible and praying. Maybe we'll throw fasting in there for making a list. Very rarely do we say, and singing. That's not something that makes that list normally. If I'm going to have a devotion, you know that I'm going to be reading my Bible and praying, and maybe occasionally I'll be fasting, but you won't think, oh, and I bet he sings. I bet in his office while the whole family's asleep, he sits in there and quietly sings a song to God. That probably doesn't cross your mind, because This is an instruction that we kind of ignore. In fact, I think, and maybe I'm wrong, and I hope I am, maybe this is something only I struggle with living out, but I think that in general, as God's children, we tend to not be known as people who sing. Now, I say, you know, in a Church of Christ, saying that is very dangerous, because we're known as singers, because we sing, and we sing in different parts and melodies, and it's beautiful. I'm not talking about Sunday mornings. I'm talking about in general through our lives. Are you known as a person who, would people who live with you or live around you say, they're always singing, and not like the latest song from, you know, is KFRX the radio station? I don't know. I have too much ADD. I can't ever stay on a station long enough to hear what it is or even finish a song. I just pop through them and then turn it off. It's not the latest pop song. They're always singing to Jesus. If that's how you think that you're known by the people who know you best, wonderful. That's you're doing this. If you're not, I would venture a guess that most of us don't fall in that category of being known as people who sing. The image that I have in mind, I grew up with a father who, my dad sings. He was always singing from, you know, in the morning, this is the day, and when it's 6 in the morning and you're just barely waking up, you don't want to hear that chirpy, this is the day, but that's what I heard almost every day of my life. And throughout the day, my dad I don't see him as often, you know, we work at different places, but I'm guessing still singing. He always sang, always was singing. It's a constant thing. I think that's the oddity and not the norm among people who follow Jesus. We have a place for singing, right? We know when we sing. I read this verse and I say, well, of course I obey that instruction. There's a half an hour before the sermon once a week that I sing. That is the time that I sing, and I obey this verse. I do that very well, thank you very much. I sing, and I could even sing some of the bass parts or tenor. maybe a mouth key. I don't know. I think it's harmony. I sing for that time. That's I obey this. We have a place where we put this, but it's not something we do all the time. I don't think most of us. So why don't when you sit down in the morning and say, I'm going to spend some time with God, why don't, when you reach for the Bible, why don't you say, oh, I want to sing first? Well, why isn't that the thought that crosses? Maybe it is. Again, I don't mean to be all judgy, but I'm assuming it's not. It doesn't seem to me be with me a lot of times. Why is that? Why aren't we known as people who are just always singing to Jesus? It's like, would you just be quiet for a minute? I want to talk to you, or could you just a little bit of silence would be nice. No, why are we not always singing to God throughout our lives? Why aren't we known as people who sing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs just all the time? Because it's kind of weird to sing, isn't it? Think about it, isn't it? Just like, singing is weird. There's the whole, you're just so uncomfortable. I don't know. Maybe I'm the weird one. Maybe this is just like a therapy session for me. But you feel uncomfortable when you sing, and it's like, and I can hear my voice really loud, and so everybody else is hearing my voice. And if I'm singing by myself, like in my house or in the car, someone's gonna hear me, and I can hear how this sounds. And I barely like it. I don't even like it. It sounds so weird. And then singing to another person, that's a whole different element of weird. You know, just looking at someone in their eyes. Don't worry, I'm not. I was going to. That's what I wanted to do. Like Friday, I was out running. I thought I should just break into song and just look at people in the eyes and sing. That would just kind of drive home the point of how uncomfortable it is when people sing to you. And I was right. I was like, I do a lot of uncomfortable confessional stuff from the front, but I couldn't do that. That's too uncomfortable for me, because it's so uncomfortable to sing to someone. I remember, so as I was running that day, then it came, I remembered, I was just going, flashing back. I remember that whenever we would go on trips with my family to Tulsa or Denver, we would always drive through, and we would always go to Casa Bonita. It was this big Mexican restaurant that had like multiple floors, and it was huge. It was an experience. They had these guys who would stand on waterfalls and shoot each other with pistols, and they'd fall in the water. They were divers and fake pistols and whatnot, but it was awesome. And as a young kid, it was just like, wow, and the bad guy would come running through, and you would kind of stretch out your food until they would do it again, because they kept repeating the same thing over and over again. And there was a mariachi band that would come through and stand at each table, and really close, like a lot closer than this, really close, and look at you and sing. And I didn't speak Spanish, but it was still, they were singing to me. And so I would see them making their rounds of coming over, and I would start sweating and getting nervous and kind of, a little kid, shaking. I was like, looking around, please go somewhere else, please go somewhere else. And I didn't feel like I could pray that, because that's not like a God thing. It's just like, I really don't want them to come to my table. And then they would. And then I didn't know what you... Has this ever happened to you? You don't know where to look. It's like they're singing to you. It's kind of rude not to look at them, but I couldn't. I would just, I looked down. It's like, this chip is so interesting. Please sing La Bamba a little faster. Get out of here. Thank you. Don't come back. So uncomfortable to be sang to or to sing to someone else. And when we sing, we're singing to a person, to a being in front of other people. There's a uncomfortable factor in that, so we don't tend to do it as much as we maybe should, given what the text says. So let's look at what God asks us to do. Look at verse 16 again. The reason I'm starting there, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. What part of that sounds like it's a list of ideas that God's giving his children? You might want to do some of these things. No, it's a list of instructions. It starts out in an imperative. Do this. Let the word of God. So read this a lot and think about it, memorize it, and then talk to each other and guide each other mutually, one to another, and sing. It's a commandment. God's saying, my children are to do this. They're to do what? Well, singing. You're You're to sing. It's not a... I kind of like to sing in my mind. Okay, there's times when that's appropriate. I was lot of my stories have to do with running. I mean, that's the only time I think. I was running yesterday, and I was really out of breath, and you know how hot it is? It was like 4 in the afternoon, and it was really muggy. I couldn't hardly breathe, so I couldn't sing out loud, but I wanted to sing, and so I was in my mind, I was singing. I was singing the song to God. Okay, there's a few times when that's acceptable as singing, but normally, what's singing? Opening your mouth and letting words come out, and melody. It's vocalizing. It's birds don't whistle in their heads. It's you sing it out. Singing to God. This command is not a command to come together on Sunday morning and let the good singers, and we know who you are, let the good singers sing to God. It's a command for us to sing together. That's what this is. We are to sing. That's what God wants us to do. And look at how singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It's like he takes the whole bucket list of the stuff that you could, not that kind of bucket list, throws the whole bucket at, of all the different kinds of songs that they would recognize, people in his time. And he says, all the kind of music that you would sing, all the kind of stuff that you would, words that would kind of have, sing those to God. Sing songs to God. So he starts out, sing psalms, sing songs that they, if they had any connection, and since they were Christians, even though they're Gentile Christians, we know because of some of the stuff he taught them, they had connection with Judaizers, and so they had connection with the Jewish faith, and so they would know psalms were the hymn book of the Jewish people. And in many cases, in many ways, it was the hymn book of the New Testament church. So he says, sing psalms, sing songs that you think that you identify with is, well, those are spiritual songs. Those are the kind of songs that I would sing to God. And then he says, sing hymns. And I did some looking into that word, because when I think hymn, I think of a book, Songs of the Saints, and that's what it's called, right? Or Songs of the Praise, yeah. That's a newfangled. Anyway, with numbers and lines and little squigglies that you don't know what they mean, but you just sing, you follow, the guy with the deep voice, and that's what I think of hymns. But to them, I think, the best I could ascertain, hymns were songs that they would sing in praise of something praiseworthy. So when a conqueror would come through, they would sing hymns to the conqueror, to their gods. They would sing hymns to their gods or to their heroes. They would sing songs praising whatever it was they were praising. And he says, if you sing those kind of songs, sing them to God. Sing songs like that to God. Sing spiritual songs. So it's like anything else, like little ones that you just make up when you're cooking at home or whatever, any kind of song that you would sing, whether it's you think this is like a religious one or this is just a normal song that I've heard other people, whatever it is, sing them to God. Sing these songs to God. He appropriates all the kinds of music that they would hear, and he says, sing whatever the melody, put words to God and sing them to him. And you look at the context, and where are the words supposed to come from? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And then he ends that with singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Our songs are supposed to, whatever we're singing to God is supposed to heavily come from this. It's supposed to be, when we sing words, it's not supposed to be, I think that's good. I think that it should be, yeah, there's a verse that says that exact same thing. It's like the author was plagiarizing. Most of our songs should be, and the good ones are, heavily plagiarized from the Bible. We're to sing the words of God to God. We're to sing to God with whatever kind of melody or song it is. We're to praise God and sing words to him that glorify and honor him. So the big idea from this text for us today is that God's children sing to their Father. God's children sing to their Father. That's what God's children do. That's what we're supposed to do. And that's the way it's always been. If you think about it, if you think back in your Bible and the history of people and God, God's children have always sang to him. This isn't Paul in a vacuum saying, oh, I got a new idea. Why don't you sing some songs to Jesus? That would be something novel you could do. No, he was just tying into, for all time, God's children have always sang to him. That's what, remember Miriam, Moses' sister, when they came out of Egypt and singing a song? God's children have always burst forth into song in praise of their Creator. And then there's books like the Psalms that are just full of it. I'm going to read several verses, so I'm going to just read the ones that I copied into my notes, but you can jump around in your Bible or write them down as we go through it. But like Psalm 47, and if you've read the Psalms, even at a cursory level, you know I'm pulling just like a couple, because there are thousands of references in the Psalms to sing to the Lord, sing to the Lord. Psalms 47:6, sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises. I'm not repeating stuff. That's what it actually says. Four times in one little verse, sing praises to the Lord. As God's children sing to their King. Look at Psalm 96, verse 1. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Praise His name. Announce every day how He delivers. God's children have always sang to their Father. And then even Jesus sang to God. You think, that's incredible. Look over at Matthew 26, 30. We sing to Jesus and to God the Father. Jesus sang to His Father. And when they'd sung a hymn, this is like towards the end of His life, and we can imagine this was just, it seems like this was just a normal thing for Jesus and His disciples, because it's just mentioned casually. They had the Lord's Supper, the Passover feast, and then when they sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. It was just like part of what they did. Jesus sings it. When we sing to God, whether it's at home by ourselves or in our car or when we come together, when we sing to God, we're joining that chorus of people who throughout all time have sang the praises of God. And we don't just join ourselves to the past, and we're not just part of that. We're also joining ourselves to the future, because look over the book of Revelation. Revelation, and look at verse 5. There's multiple examples also in Revelation of singing to God in heaven, but it gives us the idea that this is what we're going to do throughout all of eternity, because whenever there was a break in the action, people were bursting out into praise and into song of God. Look at verse 8, Revelation 5, verse 8. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain. And by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." It sounds good saying it. I wish I knew what tune they were singing, because it must have been phenomenal, or will be. Look at Revelation 14, verse 3. And they were singing a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and before the elders. And then look at Revelation 15, verse 2. And I saw what appeared to be a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who had conquered the beast and its image and the number of its name, standing beside the sea of glass with harps of God in their hands. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed." I don't know what part of that was the verse and what part was the chorus, but they were singing that to God. And so it gives us this idea that for all of eternity, we're going to be before God glorifying Him. Not here like we're singing, or when I sing at home, or when you sing in your car, and not singing and knowing that He's hearing, but looking at Him and singing to Him. And no one will be embarrassed, and no one will be looking down at the chip in their hands, and not because it's too uncomfortable. We'll be singing to God as we look at Him. So, okay, that's what God's children do. They sing. And if you say, why is it so important to sing to God? Why does He tell us to sing, and why is there such an importance on it? Well, it's because singing is an emotional response. And as creatures who are made in God's image, a God who has emotions, He's given us emotions, and emotions, the way we express our emotions in many cases is through singing. Music brings something out of us. When we sing, there's a different level of emotion than, like, you know, the emotion you feel when there's teaching is, "I hope I can stay awake." But the emotion that you feel when they're singing is you feel something. That was a joke. Look back at our text. It tells us why it's so important. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. It's the in your heart part. The heart is what? The center of our emotion, the center of our desire. that when we sing, it's an emotional response. We're responding to God in a way that we do when we talk. When we pray, we're telling God things, how we feel and our gratitude. But there's something about singing our gratitude and singing our love and our happiness and our hurt and our doubts and our trust and our admiration of Him. All of the things. You read the Psalms and you say, even when they're just spoken, you know, when you're reading them in prose and you're reading the words, there's an emotional element to it. Why is that? It's because they're songs. And David was singing, and the other writers were, they were singing, and they became the way that the God's people sang what they felt to the Lord. See, and that totally makes sense when you think about it, because what are most songs about? About stuff that we value. It's about stuff that's important. I'm not talking like, you know, songs that are in the book, whatever name we're calling it in these modern times. I shouldn't joke about that because I know that that could touch a nerve. I don't mean any disrespect for the name of the psalm book. Anyway, not those songs. Turn on the radio. What are the songs about? What are the songs about on that just people sing? That, you know, people grab a guitar and they go to Pinnacle and they charge people $50, you know, to come in and watch them sing. And they're, what are those songs about? What are those songs, what are they about? Isn't it about stuff that we love and that we value, depending on the singer and the culture and what is valued by that person and their audience? There's songs about romance and girls and guys and life and things and stuff that you smoke and drink and stuff, the good times that you have. It's about stuff that people love and people want and people are celebrating because they have, or they're lamenting because they don't have. It's what make it, we sing about what we think is important. That's what songs are. They're expressions of what we value. They're worship. Even a song about lamenting the loss of the one who got away, you're worshiping that idea of that perfect romance that could have been. You're lifting it up and you're glorifying it and you're saying, that is beautiful and I have it and I'm so happy and I want you to hear about it. That's why this song means so much to me. You gotta listen to this song, dude. It's awesome. It's really, because it's singing about something that I value, or it's something I don't have and I wish I had it so much because I value that. That's what songs are. They're emotional expressions of celebration or lament or it's worship. It's worship of what we value and we love God, and we assign value to God even more than our truck that don't start and the dog that got away and the girl who left us or whatever else we sing about. We love God, and He's valuable to us, and so we sing. We sing because we value Him and we lift Him up and we say, I want to emotionally express in a way that even my words by themselves can't do. So I'm going to put a melody to this and I'm going to sing to you and I'm going to feel something when I do, because it's an emotional expression. So if you read that and you say, I get it. I get why it's important. But why would God ask us to do something that's so difficult, so hard to sing? I don't sing well. I don't like people to look at me when I'm singing. I feel weird when I'm singing by myself. Somebody walks in, then I'll feel really weird. Why would God ask us to do something? Well, immediately your mind might go to, well, it helps us when we sing. Because if you've ever had times when you've been happy and you sung to the Lord, and it's just like intensified your happiness in God, or you've been sad, and it's like, I've prayed, I've read my Bible, I've talked to people, I can't do anything. And then a song has come to your mind, and you've sang to Jesus, and you just felt peace and you felt happiness, you felt hope in that moment. It's like, I'm singing about how good God is in the middle of just being totally lost, and I feel peace because my God has everything in His hands, and I know that it calms me. It makes me thankful when I sing. Because have you ever experienced those emotions, those feelings? You sing and you're just there, all is well with my soul. Because I know, I knew before, but I sang, and I know now. I feel connected with God. See, we've experienced that. I hope you have. You can, if you haven't. I know many of us have. We've experienced those moments. So when we say, well, why would God ask us to sing? Well, it's because of what we get when we sing, obviously. The text doesn't say that. Doesn't take anything away from the truth of that. We do receive when we sing. But that's not why the text says to sing. Look, it points us to something bigger, a bigger reason why God would say, this is why I want you to sing. I'm going to command you to do this, whether you want to or not. Got to do it. Why? It's for him. Look at the text again. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. We sing with thankfulness in our hearts to God. Why do we sing? We sing to God because he is worthy. Out of all the things we could sing about and sing to and do with our minds and our thoughts and our hearts, singing to God, he deserves our praise. He's the glorious King of the universe, and he loves me and he cares for me. He deserves for me to sing his praises, for me to say, you are incredible. And I don't care who walks in on me right now as I'm singing or who overhears me and is snickering when I walk out of this room. It doesn't matter. You're worth it. You're glorious. You're incredible. I don't care how bad I sound in front of everybody. You're worth it. With gratitude in your hearts. We sing because we remember that God is good and he's made us and he gave me this breath. And if I'm in Christ, he sent his son to the cross and I can be covered by his blood and be forgiven and be adopted into his family as his child. That's why I sing. I sing with gratitude towards God. That's why we sing. We sing because of him, because of what he received when we sing. So when should we sing? Look at the text again. It doesn't say. There's a question the text doesn't answer explicitly. So I think it's implying something. By not saying sing, and I know you're going to be tempted to limit this to Sundays, and only if you're feeling good, and if you like the songs that they sang, and oh, it's that leader again. Why? I don't know. His songs don't resonate with me. I don't know. I'm probably not going to have a good time of worship today. You know you're going to do that. So I'm going to say that's okay. Just, you know, sing together on Sundays. That's not what he says. The verse teaching, admonishing one another in all wisdom, that's a one another verse. There's a one another implied in this, but it's not explicitly stated. Because he doesn't say when we're to sing, I think it's saying sing all the time. We're always to be singing. We're to be people that's like, yeah, they're always singing to Jesus. Like they're not embarrassed. It's so weird. We're to always sing every day. A day shouldn't go by that we don't sing. And even when we wake up, we should have a song in our hearts. And when we go to bed at night, we should sing a song to Jesus. And when we're sad and when we're happy, we should just always be singing to Jesus. And then we get to the end and you say that you're at the end of the verse there. So I think we're done. We are. And if I say, yeah, but I get what it's saying. I'm supposed to sing. God's commanded me to, because he deserves it. He's worthy. But I don't want to. I can't. I don't feel good singing. I don't feel comfortable. I don't enjoy it. It's the most uncomfortable 20 minutes of my Sunday, of my whole week. And then to try to do that throughout other times of the week, there's no way in the world that I'm going to do this one. I'll come back next week and do whatever the text says then, but not this one. I don't feel anything when I sing. Not when we sing the slow songs or the fast songs or the happy songs or the new songs or the old songs. And I look weird when I do it. I feel ridiculous when I'm singing. I don't have that voice that other person has. I don't feel anything in my heart when I sing other than uncomfortable. Why would I do that? One more thing the text tells us. It gives us motivation. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. The reason we sing is for God. It's not because we need something to fill 20 minutes on Sundays. It's not because I have a good voice so I can sing in the shower to Jesus and it sounds okay and my wife's not going to laugh at me. That's hypothetical. I don't have a good voice, even in the shower, and my wife doesn't laugh at me, so none of that was true. But it's for God. We sing to God. We sing to worship our Creator. We obey. Look back at the Psalms. Look at Psalms 134. When we sneeze, what do we say? And when we say goodbye to someone who's a Christian and there's a spiritual bond between us, we say, may God bless you. And when we pray, we say, God, would you bless me? My travels or my life or my marriage, would you bless me? We look to God to be blessed by him. And so because of that, it's the most incredible thing that you find in the Psalms when God commands us to bless him. Look at this just for a moment. Psalms 134, Verse 1, come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. Or Psalms 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes his boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. We're to bless the Lord. And the image that came to my mind as I was thinking through this, how do I get over myself and just sing to God and forget about my insecurities and sing? How do I sing? It was the idea that, I work at home, so in my office, I'm there writing computer code in the mornings, and my boys sleep in the next room over, and so when they wake up, they come into my office, I stumble, hey, Dad, and they hug me, and they're like, they give me a hug, and then they go off and do whatever they're going to do. And sometimes they forget, like, you didn't hug me this morning. I should tell them that because I miss it. It's like, and so what came to me, and I was actually talking to them about them singing to God, because they're that kind of awkward, you know, pre-adolescent. Their voices have changed. They know they don't sound, you know, the way they're supposed to sound. And they try to sing, and I know there's embarrassment and everything. And don't tell them I'm sharing this with you, please. And so I was like, is this what it's like when we sing to God? It's like when you come in the office and they used to raise their hands to me to hug me. Now they're like, lean down. So sad. They reach out and they hug me. And isn't that what it's like when we're singing to God? We're blessing our Father. We're coming to Him and we're extending our arms to Him. And with our voices, we're saying, I want to hug you. I love you. You're the most important thing to me. I'm so glad that you're my Father. You're incredible. I feel good when I'm with you. And in a weird virtual way, we're hugging our Father. We're blessing the Lord when we sing to Him. It doesn't have to do with me, about me. It's not about me. It's about Him. If I get anything from it, that's secondary. It doesn't matter. So what do we do? What's the application from this? We should forget about ourselves and sing to Jesus. We should forget about ourselves and sing to Him. And if you aren't a Christian, if you've never made the decision to give yourself to Jesus, to become His child, listen, this text is an invitation for you not to sing more, but to worship more. Let me tell you what I'm saying by that. The biggest way for you to worship God is to give yourself to Him. And not reach up with your voice, but to reach up with your arms and say, I surrender all. I will repent and be baptized. I'm going to give myself to you. You will be my Lord and Savior. I will be your child. I'm going to, in that moment that I come out of the water, I'm a new creation. That's an act of worship on your part. That is you worshiping God in the same way that singing is worshiping, but so much more. It is the ultimate act of worship that you could do. And if you do that, and in this community, when you're ready to make that decision, tell someone, I want to repent and be baptized. I want to give myself to Jesus. And if you do that, listen, you'll be singing to your Savior, to your Father for all of eternity. And it will be beautiful. And if you are a Christian, our application is so direct. We should sing all the time. We should always be singing. We should all be like my dad. And we should always just be people who are like everybody, like they're always singing, always singing. It's like they just can't. Every time I come across them, they're singing. I pull up to them next to the traffic. I look over, and there's that guy from, and he's singing. He's with his mouth. He doesn't have a head thing for a phone. He's obviously singing. What a weirdo. We should be those people who are always singing throughout the day. Sundays, of course we should sing on Sundays and every other day. And you say, I don't like to. It doesn't come out of me. How do I make myself sing? Just do it. Grab a snippet of the song that you sang on Sunday, the one that you remember tomorrow, and when you're reading your Bible and you're done and you pray, and then sing that song to Jesus. And then when you're driving, listen to musical groups who are singing to Jesus and sing with them. Do whatever you have to do to sing to Jesus and to get the habit of just always be singing to Him. Why don't we stand? We'll pray, and then we will sing together. Dear God, we come to you and we thank you because you are so good. We worship you. And help us to remember, God, that when we sing, we are blessing you. We are lifting you up and extolling you. It's not something that we do because it's that time again that we got to sing. We get to sing to our God, and we love you so much, and we're so thankful you're our Father. So God, make us a people who are always singing to you. That you would join our hearts to yours as we do that. That you'd fill us with your peace and your joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.